Hit the red button, wait for the green button, make some noise, have a show, we get rich, we do shaving ads, we're famous.
Yeah, I think there's a missing link in there somewhere. I don't know if any of that, the shaving show, that sounds like...
Get those words!
Holy free holies, it's Monday. That means it's time for Bidners. Did you miss us, everyone? We weren't here on Friday. It's been a long weekend. Hello, this is Bidners. My name is John Polnick. I'm coming to you live from the Las Vegas Strip, along with my partner, Michael Deeb, who is not on the Las Vegas Strip. He is in foggy San Francisco.
Oh, my God. It is wet out, JP. It is a terrible Monday in San Francisco. I am so jealous I'm not on the Strip in Vegas right now, that's for sure.
I would say the grass is always greener on the other side, but we don't even have grass. We just have sand and gravel and that sort of thing here. So we would like some of that moisture here. It is hot. Hot in Las Vegas. I think it's hot like everywhere. I think even like literally the Northwest has been seeing, you know, friends up in Seattle have been seeing like 105, 108 or something like that. I mean, that's bonkers up there.
Lake Berryessa, which is where we keep the boat, tomorrow it's going to be 104 degrees. So if you hit log and I go, oops, that means I'm at the lake and I forgot to do the show.
Nice. Okay, cool. All right. I don't blame you. I'd rather be on a lake myself.
Oh my goodness.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is BidNerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day and all the automotive enthusiast auction sites, including P-Car Market, Rad for Sale, Bring a Trailer, and Cars and Bids. What we do is we whittle through all these cars because you know there's hundreds of cars for sale every single day. We wade through them. We find the most interesting ones. We narrow it down to a short list and we bring them to you. We nerd out on those cars and then we make predictions as to what we think they'll actually sell for when the auction ends for each one of those cars that day, today. So we're going to talk about a bunch of cars today that will be, their respective auctions will be ending in just moments. Some of them within the hour, some of them by the end of the day, but they will all end today. So the predictions are the fun part, right?
Oh my God.
Man. For those of you who came out and watched, or not watched, but came out to CarZoom Cafe, our monthly car show here in Las Vegas, we really appreciate you guys coming out. That was great seeing everybody.
Did you pass out some tennis balls to our fans of CarZoom
Cafe? No, I didn't bring any BidNerds tennis balls.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. All right.
This is what Deep's talking. I'm saving them for Radwood. You know, we're coming out Radwood here on the 10th of July, so that's
really quickly. Friday we had no show, so cousin Mark, who is a huge fan of the show, texts me at like 10 o'clock and he's like, you know what the fuck, where's the nerds, like what happened? And I told him you were doing a drive and I was going to the hospital to get my eye checked. And so anyways, it prompted a little conversation between Mark and I. So Mark and Rosalind are going to drop off their dog, PETA, at Uncle Nabil's house. And Mark and Rosalind bought tickets to Radwood so they can come out and meet everybody and see the cars. And I told Mark that you and I were basically, you know, casting almost the entirety of Radwood will be live on air. So I think we're finally going to get cousin Mark to put his microphone in his mouth and get him to talk to the nerd herd. And you guys can find out just how funny he is in person. He's hilarious. So anyways, he's going to be there. He bought his tickets. He sent me a confirmation when he got his tickets. He's very excited to come out to Radwood, and you will get to meet him eventually. So cousin Mark is on his way.
I'm excited to meet cousin Mark. He's always sending us memes that he doesn't post anywhere, which I don't get, but we should be posting those on the if you don't follow us on Instagram, please go over there and check it out. We do post some stuff on there. And if you haven't hit the subscribe, like, and notification buttons on our YouTube channel, please do that now. We know that most of you have already, and we appreciate that as well. You know, we could really use your help, guys, for the nerd herd out there. We're asking you guys, as we talk about cars on our little little podcast here, we would love for you guys to go over to their respective platforms. So if we talk about a car like on Bring a Trailer, it would be awesome if you went over to Bring a Trailer and in the comment section you mentioned that you heard about the car on Bid Nerds. That'd be awesome. Yeah. We get a lot of fans. Yeah. We get a lot of new nerds coming over to watch the show when that happens. So
yeah, please start a dialogue on our behalf, and we'll be very, very grateful. Absolutely. And then pick a car for us. Let us know. Mike Myers, a.k.a. Buddha from South Carolina, who is home in South Carolina this week, but I think we'll be back in Vegas shortly, has picked a car for us, JP, for Thursday. Nice. He picked out a little Volkswagen Vanagon. I don't want to give away too much, but it's really cool. I guarantee when Esther sees it, she might be bidding on the car. So it's pretty nice. So that we got that coming up Thursday. But we love it when you pick the cars for us because, look, you know, we know what we like, but anything you guys pick will be great. So please do submit any car. We will be happy to cover it for you.
We had a lot of great guests last week, and we've got some guests lined up for this week as well. We will let you know as soon as those are a little bit more solidified, but you won't be stuck with just our mugs. We do have some other people coming on for Third Nerds. Last week, gosh, who did we have last week? We had
Jay Lamb.
Jay Lamb, and we had
Jay Lamb for the 24 Hours of Lemons. We had... Oh, my God. Why didn't I make notes? Who else did we have on Thursday, right after?
That's right. Yeah. And then we had, of course, the big one on Thursday, Jim Barry from P-Car Market.
That's right.
Joined us. That was a big
deal.
Jim Barry. Man, and it turns out he's pretty good at this. Being a professional, I guess he kind of knows the values of some of these cars. So let's go over. We always start out the show by talking about our last prediction. So the last time we did a show was on Thursday. Let's go ahead and talk about the cars that we made predictions on Thursday then.
Well, let's start a fight real quick because Jay Lamb was on the show, claimed he didn't know what he was talking about. He's just an automotive journalist who invited a bunch of his friends to race their ugliest cars on an endurance series. He won three of the lots the day we had him on, whereas Jim Barry, who is an automotive dealer and now owns a museum and a auction platform, he only won one. So we tease Jim and invite him to come back on and defend his honor and do better next time. But let's see. Our first car of the day, JP, I think was the Ferrari. We looked at an F430 coupe. And if I remember correctly, this was a really nice stick. It was the gray one, I think, with the red leather. Look at that thing. That is gorgeous. I believe, JP, this car also had the challenged wheels, which were the upgrade wheels, and it had ceramic brakes, which is really rare on an ordinary coupe, stick or otherwise. So we were thinking that this one would break the bank. I'm going to get out my little monocle here so I can read my computer screen. I said 250. JP, you said 265. And Jim Barry went high. He said 275. Our car sold for just $245,000, and that was one of my two wins for the day. So I got that one right. Just $245,000. Look, this was pretty low miles. It's an off-range color. It had nice equipment and low miles. I mean, you know, what more do you want? It's weird. I really thought this car was going to bring more, and I think we all did. So what do you think of that result? I know 245 sounds ridiculous. That's over Scuderia money. You could get their GT3 version of this car for less money than that, but you're stuck with a single clutch floppy paddles. If you want to row your own gears, you now have to pay a massive premium.
Slick top Ferrari with a stick. Yeah, that kind of money makes all the sense in the world. You know, and 6 months ago, this car was $180 or something. I think the color hurt it. I know you guys were pretty into it. But I think it's not a gray. It's more of a champagne gray. This is kind of like an old man gray. When you look at it, it's got that kind of
it's a country club gray.
Yeah, it really is. And it's like if I'm getting a Ferrari, I want it to be kind of pissed off looking. And this just looks like it's really mellow and has regular movements. You know, I'm not into it.
Ferrari refuses to produce the Lamborghini array of gold chain, look at me colors. They really don't. Their colors are all metallic and muted. Compared to Lamborghinis, which look like something that came out of a candy machine in front of your local, grocery store.
Right. I mean, I could see being conservative, but honestly, I'd say, go with a silver or black or a white or something like that. At least those are still striking colors. This kind of like, I mean, this color could be found on a Honda Accord or a Mercedes C-Class or something like that.
It's true.
Snore, man. I mean, Beautiful, fantastic, awesome car. And, you know, you could always put some vinyl on it. And frankly, at 245, it's not like it was a steal, even though, you know, people somebody, are, you know, I think, you know what I think really hurt it, though? We talked about the video of the guy driving it, and nothing kicks me off more.
No discipline, yeah.
Than dude leaving his hand on the gear shifter as he rode the gears.
Promise me you haven't watched any of the videos, the driving videos of our Peugeot that we're going to cover today, because he does four driving videos and his finger is covering the camera in three of them. And hilarious. I was getting upset. I was like, oh, JP is going to be so angry. We can't even we can't even brag about this car because this guy ruined his own lot with these terrible videos. Oh, my
God. Well, save that for when we get to that car.
That's so funny. I was cracking up when I was watching those last night. I was like, oh, JP's going to be so pissed. All right, JP, we also looked at a Lotus Elise supercharged, and this was the 60th anniversary edition in the basically the old Jim Clark Lotus race team colors. Really nice car, very low miles. This is an original lease with the Toyota motor, but it is supercharged. So we're talking about 220 horsepower. The Exiges that came with a fixed roof made a little more power. They were like 240 when the first Exige came out. I think it was like minimum 240. But this is still a great driving car and pretty collectible because we were, I think, really off on this one. Actually, we moved our bids up. Remember, I had put my bid overnight, and it reached like 50 overnight. So anyways, I changed my bid to 70 grand while we were looking at it. Then you said 75, I think, and then Jim Barry said 72,500. The car sold for $73,502. So Jim Barry beat you by like $2 or something. But anyway, you got the win. That was Jim's only bright spot. He got that one right with his unusual bid. He was pretty close on that one. But anyway, that's a lot of money for that car. That number surprises me. I would not think that a Lotus that was like, you know, 80 something grand, 90 grand is still bringing 70,000 in today's market. Does that surprise you as much as it surprises me? I mean, David Sullivan has one of these. He's not getting 35 grand.
Well,
for his
he doesn't
car,
have
40
one
grand,
of these. He has a regular lease. He doesn't have a supercharged one. And I think that's what makes a difference. So, like, I was confused. I always thought that the Elise was the regular one and the supercharged one was the Exige. And he actually, David Sullivan, speaking of him, our friend, fan of the show, he explained that the Exiges have six cylinders, whereas the Elises only have fours, and then some of them came with a supercharge, and that's pretty darn rare.
I'm going to put my foot down and say that is incorrect. The Evora has a six-cylinder, and it's a Camry motor instead of the Celica motor, and the Evora is actually has a small back
seat. The Evora is a completely different car. I mean, that's
And the Exiges, to the best of my knowledge, were the supercharged version of this motor, and they're built on this platform. This platform was not designed to host a six-cylinder motor. If my memory can I don't own one. He does, but I believe that is incorrect. But anyway, we'll look it up.
Yeah,
I'm
still confused. I thought I knew a few things about these cars. Yeah. I've always liked the Elise. I always liked that, you know, the top came off and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, have you ever gotten into one of these? I mean, I mean,
I think I've sat in them at the dealer or like a car show, but I've never even ridden down. And they are teeny tiny. I mean,
teeny,
like,
teeny tiny cars. And that I mean, that sidewall, as you get in, like, you have to, like, put your butt in first, and then you plop down, and then you swing your legs in. My wife wants one really badly, but she wears skirts all the time. It's like, I don't know how the hell you get out of that thing.
Yeah, so the paparazzi would follow her around. Yeah, the paparazzi would follow her around if she got one.
Paris Hilton was in Las Vegas this weekend, by the way, because they opened Real World.
That's hilarious. So the gist of it was that they wanted to race Elise. And no sanctioning body would allow them to, like, weld that non-fixed roof. So they redid the platform of the Elise with a fixed roof where the skeleton, the A-frame, and the, you know, the A-pillar and the B or C-pillar, whatever, will go all the way over to the top of the car. And that's why they made Exiges. And then, of course, they did a roof-mounted intake to get fresh, cold air into the motor and make more power. So the Exige was really just a homologation special so that they could race that platform, you know, around the world, which they did. Some of those early cars did really well because they were just so light. That was the gist of it. They were, you know, they didn't weigh anything. But anyway, neat car.
Yeah.
Very fascinating result. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but we'll try to look it up and get to the bottom of this. But I'd bet at least a Buffalo nickel that there's no Exige on the planet that has a six-cylinder motor in it. And we'll see if I'm wrong. I'm wrong all the time. That's what we do here. All right, we looked at a 2019 GT3 Touring. That was the yellow car that was also on P-Car Market. you know, it's interesting because I guessed 210, you guessed 200, and then Jim Barry wouldn't guess because it's on his platform. The car brought $218,000 and failed to sell at that number. And it's really interesting because I've never seen this before. It's in the deal tank, but without a buy it now price. It's in the deal tank as make an offer. Like, in other words, tell us what you want. So it reached 218 and that wasn't enough. And they want you to make offers in the deal tank. And I just, I like, you know, he kind of explained the merits of the deal tank. I still take issue with it because I think in some cases you're inviting your guests not to put their best number forward and to try and grind the consignor later. I still believe that to a degree. But now we've got inconsistency with the deal tank. So instead of this being up there with a buy it now price, they're just saying, well, throw your best number out there. And I'm like, what am I trying to buy, a home? Do I need an agent? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a joke. I just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Look, yeah, we got a lot of offers, Michael. We sent out a lot of disclosure packages. Why don't you just give us your best offer? It's like, why are we feel like I'm in the sales office at PCAR Market. And I don't want to do that. So this one kind of bothers me a little bit. But anyway, you know, I digress. I mean, it is what it is. And look, they're working. It was great to have him on. And I would say maybe not for Doug DeMiro and certainly not for Rad for Sale, but for PCAR Market, the future looks bright. I think those guys need to wear shades.
Well, you know, I think it's just one of those things. The thing about PCAR Market is they're differentiating themselves from the other platforms, for better or worse. I mean, I agree with you. I am not a fan of the deal tank, but the deal tank is a feature that if you are okay with it, then it's for you. It is an option. You can say, all right, I'm going to put my car on this particular auction platform. We'll see what happens during the auction. And then if I don't, look, I'm going to put the car for sale on there. Basically, they're classified ads. And that's getting a certain amount of traffic. And if you're okay with going through that process of having to interact with their sales guys and have them interact with potential buyers, you know, maybe that's easier because they're dealing with the buyers and you're, you know, at some point you're going to have to deal with that buyer anyway. So there's, you know, so you're not completely removing yourself. So I'm still not entirely sure how that's beneficial. And if it's worth paying the premium to a PCAR Market, but obviously for some people it is. They've sold some pretty damn amazing cars in the deal tank. There's a car in the deal tank that I actually have my eye on.
We'll
talk about off of the air. That off air.
But I want somebody to go out and buy it.
I'm buying it. You know, again, and I think I've said it on previous shows, if I'm selling a premium car, something like a Singer, you know, I don't want potential buyers to have to deal with a salesperson trying to sell them a car. As nice as they are over at PCAR Market, and again, you know, Jim coming on, you are awesome for doing that, and we're hoping to get his partner David on later in the week.
They sold the first Singer, they sold off the deal tank, but based on the price that it tripped for and where it arrived on the deal tank, the consignor made a $100,000 concession. Now, maybe the consignor was completely unrealistic with his original reserve and perhaps his buy it now price. And they may have even lowered him. His reserve might have been at like 1.5, and then he lowered it to like 1.15, and then they sold it for $1,050,000 or whatever the numbers were. They might have already grinded him down. We don't know how much work, you know, PCAR Market put into getting that car to the number where it came close enough to accept an ad. But by all accounts, it looks like the consignor made concessions to let his car go. And, you know, when you go on these things, you're hoping you get the moon, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, Jim did mention that in our discussion. He's like, because the prices are so high right now, there are really high expectations by the sellers. And he alluded to what he thinks is probably some kind of softening, or at least remote cooldown on the GT3 Tourings that have been just bonkers high. They were going for about 250, and now they're somewhere in that two and teens, which we saw in this one not making 218. So this buyer or this seller, 218, is that what this thing got bid up to? Is 218?
218 and failed to sell at that price. Yeah, and the reasoning behind all that is the new 992 Touring has been released and is now on Porsche's. Like, if you go to their website, you can build a Touring, right?
And then you can't get one. I mean, when is one of those going to actually show up? I mean, that's the thing. If you want this car
next year, that car is not getting here till next spring. If you ordered one now, if you miraculously you had an allocation, you ordered one, it's not getting here till next spring. And that's if you can get one. And that's if you can get one. At sticker, it's still $185,000, $190,000 car at sticker.
Yeah.
If you load it to the gills, it's $195,000. But
Monterey Car Week is coming up in just a couple of months. You're not going to drive that new one till next Monterey Car Week. If you want the car to drive, this is it. This is where you got to get it. So I don't.
And most dealers are going to mark that car up $25,000.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it's going to go. You're going to pay. What is it? The current market value for that car, even at the dealer, which is just, you know, kind of ridiculous. I will commend Ferrari on that. They control the market. The dealers are not allowed to mark new cars up. Now, used cars are their own ball of wax. But if you buy a new Ferrari, you're paying sticker and everybody pays the same. And it's a shame that Porsche can't control their own market.
And frankly, I would rather have this car than the new one. I cannot get into that new GT3.
It's not a looker. It's not a looker.
Of course, when they actually hit the ground, it'll probably be different. They always look better in real life, but I just cannot get into the design. I think it's too boy racer whiz bang. It's going away
Look at the back of the car, you've got the windowsill line, you've got the grill line, then you've got like the farthest leading edge of the angle, and then you've got like a space for the license plate, and then underneath that you've got a whole nother thing for taillights, and then you've got a whole nother thing with the exhaust coming out of it. It's starting to look like the Supra on the back end of that car. It is. They're jumping the shark, JP. We're watching them jump the shark.
Did you see, I think it was Porsche Design or the designers at Porsche like teamed up with Star Wars when the last movie came out, and they made apparently they made a Star Wars Porsche. In the last movie, there is a Porsche Star Wars spaceship flying around the back. And the ship was kind of neat and whatever. It was like, okay, yeah, I can kind of see some of the design language from Porsche going into the Star Wars spaceship. But what we're seeing now is the opposite of that. We're seeing design language coming from Star Wars onto Porsche. And that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing at all.
This trend of cross marketing is diluting the purity of everything. And the 911s, the Porsche's entire hallmark is this purity of design that dates all the way back to their relationship with Volkswagen and the Beetle, right?
Yeah.
And now we need Star Wars to sell a 911. Give me a. That to me is the sign that the end of the world is nigh.
Right. at Carzoom Cafe this weekend, our friends over at God and Porsche of Las Vegas, JT, brought out a 2010 997S, and that car was really nice. We parked it right out front. Unfortunately, it's PDK, but it was just, I mean, it is such a great looking car. The Dot 2 997s really, I think, are the best modern Porsche. And, you know, I had my 991S parked right next to it. And, it, you know, as much as I like that 991, it's a fantastic car, but the 997 is just the better car all the way around. Just everything about it is better.
JP, when you had the cars next to each other and they're juxtaposed, is your car visibly bigger than the 997? Is the 991?
Yeah,
it is. It's a little porkier.
Really is. Yeah.
It is a little porkier, huh? Yeah. It's a larger, more GT and less pure car, isn't it?
You know, and look, I'll say this. Yes, all the things that you said, but driving them, driving a 991S is a very similar experience to driving a 997 GT car. It really has the power. The shifter is crisp, but that 7-speed, where the gear ratios and all that stuff, I don't know. It's really good, but I'd still rather have the 997. No way around it. I'd rather have.
And it's so funny. My first car was a 997 .2 2010. And I all these modern cars, all these older cars, that car was an unbelievable machine. I rue the day I sold it. Anyways, our yellow Touring remains. I just looked it up. It's still in the deal tanks. That car is still available. You're welcome to make a blind bid on that car and see if you can finagle a deal on arguably one of the only bright yellow Tourings in existence in the U.S. JP has pulled up for us the Panamera GTS that's out of Miami or somewhere in Florida. This car was also in P-Car market. Another really beautiful car. I bet the moon on this one. I really liked it. I'm sure I was over 85,000. JP, you said 66. Jim did not make an offer because it was on P-Car market. You nearly got that one, buddy. It sold for $61,000. And look, for $61,000 for a 45,000 mile car. Now, like, we know it's out of warranty, but that's a lot of car for the money. This was $120,000 car when it was brand new, maybe a little bit more. I mean, the GTSs were not faint of wallet, and there's a lot of performance there. And Jim brought up a good point, or you brought up a good point. All the modern European sports sedans are forced induction. This is the last true normally aspirated, just rev it to the moon. It's got tons of torque, and it's just got that crisp throttle response that you'd expect from a high performance normally aspirated V8. There's almost nothing to compare this to, certainly for sale now. And even back 5 years ago, there weren't a lot of cars that would compete with this, apples to apples. So what do you think of that, JP? And how, with that in mind, does that make that number an even greater value, or is this still the polarizing platform because it's a big five-door?
No, I mean, this car is—it's definitely one of those cars that you have to drive. If you've never driven one, a lot of people are kind of turned off by the design style. Yeah. It's really grown on me over the years, and having driven them, I've really fallen in love with them. The GTS is just a monster, right? I mean, this
it is
great.
A beast.
And
it's
from
a
utility point of view, you know, you get people buying crossovers and stuff, and Cayennes, and I'm a Cayenne owner. I would way rather have this car than a Cayenne, because I just, you know, when you're talking, it depends on the Cayenne, of course. But, you know, like my Cayenne is a turbo, and it's not ever going off-road, right? So it's really just a road car. This thing has just as much utility as the Cayenne does. Yeah. It has more space. I mean, the trunk space in this thing is monstrous. Plus, you've got all that comfort for the people in the back.
Fold down the rear seats, and that glass top becomes a proper little hatchback.
Right, and as a GTS, this thing handles and drives fantastic. I think the problem with the Cayenne, or not the Cayenne, but with the Panamera for the future is really that this car is going to be, you know, in 5 years or more, as electric sedans are more and more prevalent, these things are going to be sitting next to used Taycans. Who's going to buy this thing when they can get a used Taycan for, you know, not much more money? The electric thing is just... It's just not comparable. The Taycan is just it's kind of the same platform. I mean, it's not it's its own car, but when you get into a Taycan, you can tell, all right, this is the next generation, and the Panamera is sitting in the past, in all the wrong ways, unfortunately.
Interesting, very interesting. We shall see. Yeah, the days are numbered for these types of cars. And then JP, our last one was an E28 M5 from 1988. Had some miles on it, had a rebuilt motor. Nice car, nice condition for its age. I said 56,000. You went 49, and Jim Barry really liked the car. He said 58. Our car sold for $49,750. That means twice you came really close to a Yahtzee. For the week, JP, just to add it up, we didn't have a show on Friday, but you got 11, I got 8, and we had one draw. Another pretty even week, but you got the nod, my friend. There we go.
Right on. It's crazy that this, you know, 40 or 30 something year old car went for almost as much as that Panamera GTS. And that Panamera GTS, make no mistake, that is a performance car. I mean, a Panamera is one thing, a Panamera S is another thing, but the GTS, that is a performance car. But next to this M5, it's going to blow the wheels off of it in every way. However, I think this M5 is going to continue to go up in value over the years, and will be something that people will cherish for many years in the future, whereas that Panamera is just going to continue to go down and down and down and down, and will never, ever be a classic, because all those electronic gizmos and stuff are just going to become... Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever going to want to fix them up. I love this M5, even though it wasn't really the nicest one.
I hadn't thought about it until you were just talking now, so I looked it up real quick. But in 1988, the BMW M5, the base price before options, was $47,500, and our car sold for $49,700 or something. So essentially, this car went for sticker. with 150,000 miles on it, re-leathered seats, and then they rebuilt motor. And like you said, the car is 30-something years old. I mean, that is just – that's crazy.
Well, crazy. I mean, look, people talk about, oh, my gosh, the idea of a car going – that's higher than original MSRP. Well, I mean, when you're starting to talk about a car that's 25, 30 or more years old, you know, inflation is a factor here. So if you really said, all right, you know, in real dollars, how much is $55,000 from 1988? That's closer to 100, right? And that's how much the contemporary version of this car is. It's 150 or something. So I think it's not uncommon to see 80s cars go for that much, you know, go for sticker. I was trying to sell my Jeep Wrangler over there on the Rad for Sale site on Friday.
Yeah. And that didn't go well, did it?
Unfortunately, it really did not at all. And I was thinking, you know, when people were asking independently, you know, outside of the site, you know, how much do you think this thing's going to go for? And my, you know, I was really hoping that this was going to be an MSRP car. The MSRP back in 1992 was only $12,000, $11,900 with a couple of options.
Wasn't even into the teens. It was just $12,000.
12 grand brand new. But if you adjust that for today's dollars, that's somewhere in the 20s, you know, low 20s, which is still cheap. What brand new car do you get for 20 nothing, right? So this is a lot of vehicle. This car only had 38,000 miles, and I think on BAT there was one that sold a few months ago, and it was, now granted, that was a 4 liter. This is just a 4 cylinder, so the 4 liter on BAT inline six, a 1992 model year in like a green color over there in BAT a few months ago sold for $20,000, and that had 89,000 miles. This car has half the miles with the smaller engine,
less than half.
Yeah, exactly. So 38,000 miles and is in immaculate condition. This is like a brand new Jeep. If you want one of these, I still have it. But this thing is so much fun to drive around. I drove around this weekend. It was pretty darn hot in that thing here in Las Vegas. No AC came with this thing. The only option it had was power steering. That was an option. And the rear folding seat. So this car is as no frills as you get. This car is as close to the Volkswagen thing, I think, since the Volkswagen thing. You can see in this picture one small teeny little dent.
It's not a bad take. It's pretty close.
It really is. But there it is. I mean, it just, so going on to Rad for Sale, I really thought, I was really hoping for those guys that this would be the platform to do it, because Rad for Sale, this is so Radwood, right? This is right smack. And this is a car that was designed in the 80s. They still sold it in the 90s. This is a really good version of it. But like we've seen, Rad for Sales had a hard time filling their site. And they really, really, really suffered from some technical issues near the end of my auction. As bids were coming in, they were having problems where the bids weren't showing up. It was showing up in the total. You know, it said high bid. It's got that high bid number. So the number was there, but the bids weren't showing up in the list of bids, and extra time kept being added. And it was having the seller button listed next to other people's comments that weren't the seller, being me. It was just like the system was just completely imploded at the last minute, to the point where the guys at Rad for Sale added another 10 minutes afterwards. Everyone thought it was closed. It was done. It was done for like 5 minutes. We're all going, well, wait, did it sell? What's happening here? And then all of a sudden,
I was loosely watching that, and it was heartbreaking. JP, it was just, you know, unfortunate.
You know, and we're very good friends with the owners of Rad for Sale. And so, you know, I felt bad for him. I mean, it's not the end of the world that my car didn't sell, whatever. You know, it's not a terrible car to be stuck with. I actually really like this thing. And, you know, by the time the end of the auction came around, I'm going, boy, I should have had a higher reserve, because I sure hope it doesn't sell at the reserve. No harm, no foul to me, but I feel bad for those guys, because it was a really bad impression for people who are watching. And very few people not nearly enough people are going over there, because it's not enough cars. So when they do get some attention, then to have the system, you know, collapse,
let them down,
on them, it's got to be a very, very frustrating situation for those guys. And I hope they're getting it sorted out.
Anytime Rad for Sale is closing an auction, that's when they're going to have the most eyeballs on them, and you want to put your best foot forward. And it's not easy to do when you're developing a proprietary software, which I assume they're doing because of all the teething problems. It's hard for me to imagine that they're using a system that's tried and true, because of all the bugs and kinks that they're still working out a couple months down the trot. I was with Stratus Auctioned when we first launched, and we ran like 2 weeks worth of auctions and shut the system down, and recalibrated everything for like 6 weeks. We went with the developer out of Vegas, and then we launched like 2 months later. And, you know, for the 5 or 6 months that Stratus was up and running, maybe it was just 4 months, we had problems all the time. But so I feel for the Davids that are trying to take on Goliath here and do it on their own. It's not easy, but man, you got to get your act together, or it's just not, this is a very expensive game to play if you don't have everything worked out. And so I feel for them, and I wish them a lot of luck, because they need to do better. That's just a shame.
Well, we're hoping for them that, and you've mentioned this numerous times, that, you know, not having their car shows over the last year has really been difficult,
for sure.
Obviously, for them, because that's their main business model, the Radwood car shows. And that's where they get the most exposure for things like Rad for Sale. And so they haven't had that mechanism. The thing I always mention about, like, platforms like Cars and Bids is, clunky as Cars and Bids is, functionally it's very good, and they have a mechanism for promoting it all the time with Doug DeMiro videos. He gets millions of views for everything he does, and he always puts a commercial for his platform, so he has this mechanism to get the word out to a very, very large audience. Rad for Sale, their mechanism, they don't put out content like Doug DeMiro does, so their way of getting out in front of their customer base and into the community is PR when other public are talking about their events and the actual events themselves, and they haven't had an event.
Totally.
So hopefully with their new event coming out in July on the 10th, and they've got a bunch of other stuff scheduled for the summer, hopefully they can ramp things back up, get some of their technical things sorted out, get some cars on the platform, and save this thing. Because
while they're fostering or nurturing Rad for Sale, they can, I mean, I said this to you last week when we were signing off, I'm like, they probably can't wait to start having shows and get their fervor back and have their mojo, and then see, you know, give this summer their best shot at getting Rad for Sale, like, over the hump and established, you know, before it's too late, kind of thing.
Yep. All right. Well, that was the cars from last week. We're just now getting to the cars of the day. Before we do that, we want to take a moment and talk about our sponsor. We've got a really, really cool sponsor. One of the coolest brands ever. Look at that. Michael Deeb is showing you his guy's
hair of them.
Customs bracelet. Yeah. These things are super. Let me see that bracelet again. Let's see that again. Oh, he's taking a swig of water here.
Yeah. Check it out.
Guys Those Customs are, bracelets yeah. are handmade That's... bespoke bracelets made for men by a woman, so you know they're cool. These bracelets are made individually for the owner who owns a really cool watch or a really cool car. If you have a car that you have a paint-to-sample color, the artist will make you a bracelet custom designed for that car using paint-to-sample paint to specifically match that car. Or your watch. It's amazing. If you go to the only place you can get one of these things is Guys Customs on Instagram. Now, it's not spelled G, you know, it's not spelled like normal guys, right? It's spelled GYX. There you go. I don't know if you guys can see this here. I'm going to go here. It's GYX. _ customs. That's plural. GYX _ customs on Instagram. That's the only place you can get one of these. Go to their Instagram page. You can DM the artist. You're actually DMing her. You're not DMing some, you know, ordering company out of India or something like that. These are handmade in America by an artist. Every single one of them is made with high quality stuff, titanium, all kind of like these. Really, she sources all these amazing beads. I'm wearing this one with my Porsche design monoblock watch. And you can see it's got kind of a blue face, and she's got these crazy beads that she sourced that match the color of the face. I mean, it's just, I don't even know where she finds them. Sorry, this is terrible photography here, guys.
That's
but
okay.
Every single one of them is just unbelievable, and you'll be proud to wear one of these. If you need to get a gift for someone, there's nothing better. That's Guys _ Customs. That's GYX _ Customs on the Instagram. Order yours today. Michael Deeb, anything else you want to say about your guys' bracelet?
Yeah, mine, I have a 1984 Porsche Carrera that is Rubino Rot. Metallic, which is a kind of a dark red metallic color. And when mine was made for me, mine was a gift, actually. And it was made with paint to sample beads that match my car perfectly. And I mean, I don't know where else you would go to get something like that. So if you want to get something for the guy that has everything, he doesn't have one that matches his car yet. That's for sure.
Yeah,
so that's
sure.
the gift. Yep. There you go.
Cool, guys. Check out Guys _ Customs today. That is awesome. All right. Well, let's get to the cars today. Man, we have some amazing cars. holy cow. This is one of my favorite cars. I think we've talked about many of these before, but the GT2, there are versions of the GT2, but is there a better version than this?
Than the 99s? No. Look at this, JP.
Yeah.
So Jim Barry, our third nerd, our latest third nerd, and his P car market, he and his partner David, they have sourced out of, JP, give it to me, Miami, Florida, a 5,000 mile 2003 Porsche 996 GT2. This is a 3.6 liter Metzger engine that makes about 450 horsepower. And JP, what is the torque on that thing? I think it's also like around 450 or 460. I mean, these things just flat out fly. This is just one of the great driving Porsches of the modern era in that it doesn't have a lot of techno nannies. There's no stability program on this car. This is a true widowmaker. High horsepower, incredibly high torque, two-wheel drive, manual transmission, and no guardian angels. This is the modern version of the Widowmaker, if ever there was one. And to find a black-on-black one with just 5,000 miles is something to see. Most of these cars were driven into the ground. A lot of these cars were modified because they'll take the mods. You could go and get 600-700 horsepower out of this car, but then it's not drivable. I mean, you might have a ton of horsepower, but you open the throttle and that car will just swap ends. This car, the way it was designed, coming basically the Metzger engine, Metzger made the GT1 block so that Porsche could race it at Le Mans. Then they took the GT1 block because it was, based on a street car, and they continued to develop it for the road. And that's what this car is. So, the things that make this car special came out of Weissach, which is their racing department. And this is just a fantastic driving car, and you just don't see them in this condition. So this one's destined to have a pretty big finish, I think, at the end. Just to go over it really quickly, you've got a carbon fiber interior package, including carbon sills. You've got deviated yellow stitching to go along with yellow seat belts. The seats in this car are the adaptive sports seats, and the carbon ceramic brakes were the first that Porsche put on a road car. I think when this car came out the year before, it came standard with PCCBs. And so that was the first time that Porsche put those carbon ceramic brakes on one of their road cars. I think they were an option on the GT3 that came out in 2004, but they were standard equipment on the 996 GT2, adding to its sort of mythical and exotic flair. These cars cost, believe it or not, JP, $187,000 when they were brand new almost 20 years ago. That was a ton of money. Our car is sitting at a whopping, let me read it to you, JP. It got some bids overnight, so it's up to $140,000, but only on 5 bids. I don't think the 5 bids scares me, because I think we can safely say that P-Car has established their following. So if there's somebody watching this, they might just come out of the woodwork in the 11th hour. But what do you think of a black-on-black Metzger? These were a steal a little while ago. You could have picked up a car like this with, like 20,000 miles for like $90,000, $85,000. But now we're seeing a low mile example. It's an attractive colorway. It's not silver or gray. It's black, and super low miles. And then values of these have gone up. Is this thing going to bring sticker price, JP? What do you think?
If anyone has a chance to, I think this one does. I mean, black on black is the color for this car, in my opinion. Not having that front diff really makes all the difference in the world. If you've ever driven a 996 turbo and think, I have a pretty good idea what a GT2 is like, you don't. Getting behind the wheel one of these is noticeably different. I mean, if you could drive one without opening your eyes, if there was a way to do that, or at least if you could drive one of these and you didn't know, if somebody didn't tell you, all right, this is a GT2, now this is a 996 turbo, you could immediately tell the difference going just 20 feet in one of these. They are a different car and a different animal. You mentioned sport adaptive seats. I don't recall Porsche having sport adaptive seats, or are we talking about the same thing? Does Porsche call adaptive seats something different than other manufacturers?
I think they do, because I don't think Porsche's ever had them, but they do call them adaptive sports seats. And I just think they might have inflatable bolsters, like for lumbar, but not like the BMW where they move with you around the turns.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a misnomer to say that. But basically, when I look at the seats and you see the little butterfly cutouts for the shoulders, that means it's the better sports seat for them. Yeah, that's the sports seat in the modern car. In the G bodies, it was just at the kidney. They had a thicker bolster in the kidney, and that was the sports seat. But these have the extra cutout for the shoulders, and all the bolsters on these seats are thicker, which means they hold you in place better. And at my advanced age, when I was a kid, I used to think carbon buckets were the way to go. Yeah. And I'm telling you, carpet buckets are kind of a joke at this point. If you nobody in their right mind is buying a $225,000 car and only using it for the track. If I were to go out and buy a GT3 again today, I would not get carbon buckets because 80% of the driving, 90% of the driving I'm going to do in that car is on the road. And on the road, you don't need adaptive, you don't need carbon fiber racing buckets. It's just too much trouble to get in and out of, and you worry about dragging your jeans across the pick stitching and all that stuff. And they're just you have to be a contortionist to get in and out of these. These seats are really comfortable, and they hold you in seat, hold you in place better than any seats of any of the competitors on the road, short of racing bucket seats. So I just think this is the way to go. And when I see these seats, I get very excited. They do call them adaptive, but they don't move. They just have a lot of adjustments to them, and they are fantastic seats, JP. They're really, really great.
Yeah. All right. So where's this car going to land?
All right, JP, our car's at 140 grand. It's got about 2.5 hours to go. It's in Miami. I don't think any of that hurts it. That being said, I don't know that P car market is going to get 190 grand and get basically MSRP for this car. I do think it's going to do well, though. I'm going to say $165,000 and say that, I don't know, maybe if it was on BAT, it would get closer to 180, 185. But I don't think it's going to happen here today. That's just, I don't know. And I have nothing to verify that other than just my gut.
Where's this car at right now?
140 with 2.5 hours on 5 bids.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think it needs to be somewhere in that high 100s. Does this owner, I mean, 5,000 miles is the lowest mile one I've seen. Right. Does this owner think that this is a $200,000 car? Does he go to a P car market aggressively and say, "Oh, I want a really high, a really high reserve," and say, "If it doesn't make it, then fine, I'll go to the deal tank," like we were talking about before? I'm going to say yes. I think this person wants all the money in the world for it. What was your number?
165, and it's at 140.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it goes a little higher. I'm just a little bit. I'll say 170, just for the sake of. But I don't think it sells.
Yeah,
I don't think unless this thing breaks a $180 or $185, I think it's an FTS, and I think it goes in the deal tank.
And the only reason I'm going to take a different tack than you is this: there hasn't been any evidence. Like, we've seen some GT3s break the bank. That 996 GT3 went crazy on their site, and so. But there's been no result on BAT, PCAR, or otherwise to support that a 996 GT2 with basically no miles on it or brand new condition, like as new condition, is an MSRP car. We haven't seen that. But if one was poised to do so, it could be this one. And right. If a guy had the false narrative going in his head, like, oh, a 996 GT car is a $200,000 car with no miles on it, it could be somebody that's watching P car market and saw that GT3.
So, well, that's what we're talking about. Because remind everyone what you're talking about is that there was a 996 white, GT3 in white with how many miles?
9,000.
9,000 miles. And how much did that 9, go 000. For?
$195,000 or something ridiculous.
There you
yeah,
go.
It's crazy.
I mean, the
yeah.
GT2 is the higher mark car. Is it a more desirable car? Well, I don't know. We'll see in a minute. But I could see someone taking that tack and saying, this should be the more expensive car.
But you're connecting a lot of dots there. There's no comps for this, really. Yeah. The only thing I say that really supports your claim is that there's probably less GT2s and GT3s from the 996 era on the ground.
Again,
in 96
time. I'm not saying that is the number. I'm saying that that's the reasoning of the owner. And there weren't any comps to support the idea that a GT3 with low miles in the 996 platform would reach almost $200,000. There was nothing like that. So this guy's going, I'll be that guy.
Yeah, the next one they sold had less miles, but it didn't have ceramics and it wasn't white and it didn't bring nearly the same money. It went to like 145 and sold there, which is crazy. But anyway, we'll see what happens. This is a very interesting lot, and I think that's why we picked it. It really does start a debate on what the values of these are, because you could not give away these cars for the last 4 or 5 years, and now they might be unattainable again, which is just crazy.
Hey, back in the day, I remember looking at a GT2 996 for $60,000. I remember going, God, that's just crazy. That's so expensive.
Why you can't even get a turbo for that anymore.
I could get a turbo. At the time, you could get a turbo for 30. So it was like twice
you could get two turbos and have money in the bank with that kind of money. And now you can't buy a turbo with that. That's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, the market is bananas. All right, JP, pick another car.
Oh boy, I
great selection, by the way, JP. You picked that car. That was a good selection. That was a good
this,
one.
Let's talk about okay, this ME16. This thing is like
all right. Oh, this pick one of mine.
Car. Yeah,
I love this thing. All right, so JP, I was delusional when I was a kid. I really wanted to believe that I came from a semi-privileged family and that my father was going to buy me a car. There was no evidence to support that. I just thought my dad loved me that much because I was just a whacked up kid. But Peugeot, my dad owned a Peugeot, like a 504 or something when I was younger, like adolescent. And it was not a great car. But he had this like palette for really strange cars. And I remember seeing this car, and Peugeot was definitely going out of business. 1991 mm-hmm. was the last year that they sold cars in the United States, and they were giving these cars away. I can't remember the original MSRP. I think it was like 20-something thousand, but I think they were giving these cars away brand new for like $16,000 or $17,000, and I really wanted my dad to buy me one. I don't know why I thought that, but this is a 405 MI16. Now, the 405 was a venerable front-wheel drive, just four-door, ordinary sort of commuter car that Peugeot made. Peugeot's famous for having very comfortable seats, not terribly reliable cars, but still, you know, not as quirky maybe as a Saab, but not as reliable as a BMW or nearly as sporty. The MI16 was their hot rod version of the car. 16 stood for 16 valves, and the MI treatment meant that it had a turbocharger. So it had a 16-valve head and a turbocharger from its 1.9-liter inline four-cylinder motor. It only was good for about 150 horsepower, and it made about 120 or 130 pound-foot of torque. Just back in period, that was just sort of normal, kind of what you'd expect from the car. It's front-wheel drive, so it's not an amazing handler, but it's responsive enough, and it's a great car. That motor, JP, I'm not sure if you remember this, but in the mid-80s, while in the United States, the Volkswagen GTI, we only got that here. In Europe, you could pick from a Volkswagen GTI, or you could choose the competitor to that car, which was the Peugeot 205-16. And this car has that car's motor. Believe it or not, even though it's turbocharged, this motor revs to 7,000 RPM, and it is a fantastic little engine. These are great little driver cars. And for just an ordinary three-box design, I thought that the details on this car were cool, in period. When I was 21 years old and I was looking at this as something I would, even though I couldn't afford it, like to own, I thought these were pretty easy on the eyes with the little wing and the little sort of color-mounted grille, and it had 15-inch alloy wheels. So great little car. It turned out to be the swan song for Peugeot in the United States, and they have never held their value. But this one out of, what's it called? Royersford, Pennsylvania, has 150,000 miles on the clock. Some of the clear coat is peeling off, and some of the paint is faded. But otherwise, it's all there. It looks relatively stock. It seems to be in decent condition for its age. And where are you going to find another one? I can't remember ever seeing one of these for sale in the last few years. And I've been looking at cars, you know, as a vocation for the last, almost the last decade. So it's a pretty rare bird indeed. The consignor mentions that the tires have aged out, but otherwise this car is a runner. And even though his driving videos are hideous, they're the antichrist of driving videos, you can hear the motor and look at the tachometer, and it reminds me of why we love these cars in the first place. That motor that was in the GTI was legit, and it was in every bit the competitor for the Volkswagen GTI on European soil. So the very, very strange, no reserve 405 MI16, JP, it definitely takes me back. This is super Radwood, is it not?
Yeah, when I was 17, my first job at a car dealership, I was a lot punk at a dealership that sold Porsches, Volkswagens, Nissans, and Peugeots. This was in like 1989.
So you've driven these.
I have, and I remember, because Peugeot was not a mark that I gave two S's about. But then I had to drive a 505 across the mountains to deliver it somewhere. And I was like, my God, this car is really nice. And then the ME16, I was a fanboy at Volkswagen. I had Sciroccos and stuff like that. So you got out of a GTI 16 valve into one of these, and it was like, oh, this is the classy version of a GTI 16 valve. Everything, all the touch points, you know, was much more expensive. This was a nice car, whereas the 16 valve Jetta GLI was a fantastic car, but it didn't feel like this one. It didn't have that European presence, even though Volkswagen is a European car. Years later, when I had moved to LA for a while and I was kind of broke, I had an opportunity. Somebody was selling one of these and I had a Jeep. I needed something that had better fuel economy. So I was like, I'm going to go look at this Peugeot. I love these. And I went out to look at this car and I never forget the guy that owned it. People that own these are just weird, man. So I get in the driver's seat and I'm sitting there and I'm like looking at the gear shift lever and the gear shift knob was missing. The knob wasn't missing, but the little plate that had the gear shift pattern was missing. Yeah. So I couldn't remember if first was here or there, whatever. So I'm just like looking at it and I said, where's first? And he's like, oh, the thing's missing. And he reaches from the passenger seat. Now the car is running, right?
Yeah.
He reaches from the passenger seat and shoves it in first for me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting in a parking lot in a car while it's running, do you sit there with the clutch engaged?
Yeah,
of course not, right? Your foot is on the brake, but your foot is off, and you have it in neutral. So, you know, whenever you get into a car, you the first thing you do with a manual is you put your foot on the clutch, you shake the stick to make sure you're in neutral, start the thing, and then you take your foot off the clutch and you let it idle while you decide whatever it is that you're going to do. This guy reaches across and jams it in first, and of course it goes bang and just stall. I was like, and I'm like looking at the guy like, what the fuck is the matter with you? Pardon the F-bomb there. And he was so mad at me. He's like, what's going on? He's like, why wasn't the clutch in? It's like, because I'm sitting. You want me to ride your clutch while we're just sitting here talking? He's like, that's ridiculous. You're supposed to have the clutch in. And I'm just like, bro, you just reached across your car and shoved it in first gear without knowing if the clutch was engaged. And it broke
Instead
something.
Of answering my question, which is, where is first gear?
Yeah, and like, where's first gear? You point and tell me, oh, it's over there. I would have done that for you. I'm the one behind the driver's wheel, not you, idiot. And so he broke his car. He was mad at me. He was, oh, God, that guy was so pissed. I was like, whoa, dude. I'm like 20 at this point going, okay, pal.
I got to go. See ya. Let me escape this red flag.
Here you go. What color? It was a silver on like dark blue, if I remember correctly.
Oh, cool.
It was a beautiful car. I would have bought it if it wasn't. Well, anyways. So that was back in the day. You're right. This is when I saw this car on the list, I was like, this is the first Peugeot we've ever talked about on the show. And we have 150 plus episodes, if you can believe that.
That's crazy.
Right? So we've never talked about a Peugeot. Where is, Cars and Bids, is this a car that anyone on Cars and Bids is going to give a flying F about?
The answer is shockingly yes, because JP, these cars, they can't be worth more than $2,500 to $3,500, period, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And yet, our car is sitting on 15 bids at $7,500 with still almost 4 hours to go. I'd say that's already all the money, but because there's some action, I actually think this car is going to get a few more bids before it's done. Now, I don't think it's going to break $10,000. And I'm not suggesting that this car wouldn't get maybe a little more money on BAT, but whatever this consignor had in mind, it's a no reserve auction. I'm sure he's already pleased that he's getting $7,500 for his old Peugeot that he clearly hasn't driven because his tires are from like 2013. So, you know, obviously this guy's not driving this car anymore, or he would have had to change those tires at some point. It's a good thing. I got to say this because in case my wife is listening, it's a good thing we're broke right now because I would absolutely buy this car. This is like that part of my dad that still exists in me that like, I just love the weirder the car, the better, because everybody would just laugh at it when I pulled up and be like, what is that thing? And then we'd go for a drive and they'd be like, oh damn, those cars are pretty good. And it's like, yeah, cause I would drive the snot out of this.
Where is this
and
car?
Because I'd want it. It's in Pennsylvania. Are we doing a road trip?
Yeah. Right. Well, our friend Matthew Whitesell is looking for a car to bring down to Radford, or not Radford Sale, but down Radwood, to Radwood.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, God, if it was on the West Coast, he could go get it and bring this, because this might go for, I mean, if it's under 10, this could be a car. But I mean, geez, $7,500? This car is worth $3,000, tops.
Totally. Tops. It's like I said, man, it's a crazy number. But that being said, JP, I believe in this car maybe a little more than I should. Mm-hmm. I continue to unapologetically bid with my heart, and I'm going to say this car brings $9,000. And if it breaks 10, I'll eat crow, because I just don't, that would be amazing result for Doug DeMiro. I just don't think it's going to do that. I'm going to say 9 and expect you to bet the under. So where are you at?
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I'll go 8 just because, I mean, look, are there going to be any more bids on this? We don't see a lot of late stage rallies. There's a lot of bids on it. So it's entirely possible, but I wouldn't bet it. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, $8,000, which is just bonkers. Wherever, $70-something right now.
$7,500. That's what I would expect. Like, that's what I expected to get on BAT, and it's at 7,500 cars and bids, which means on BAT, that car is probably worth $11,000 or $12,000, which is that's half MSRP. The MSRP on that was $22,000, you know, however many years ago.
If anyone clicked on the thumbnail 30 years ago. For this show, 30 years ago. Came in for that GT2, and that's the car to get. Let's rip through some of these other cars here because we are going long.
Two BMWs and a Mercedes. Where do you want to be?
Let's check out the Benzo, since that's kind of a rummy car. Look at this thing.
On BAT is a 2015 Mercedes-Benz AMG C63 Edition 507. This is a coupe, and it's got 507 horsepower and 450 pound-foot of torque. It's got a big old turbo on there, right? Oh, no, this is the 6.2. Yeah, this is a normally aspirated 6.2 liter. It does have a 7-speed dual-clutch transmission, which is cool. It makes it a better driving car, but it's still slow compared to the one in the Porsche and the one in the Ferrari, the dual-clutches that are in there. It's just a neat car. I mean, this is absolutely Mercedes-Benz making a muscle car. So, you know, it's a big, heavy, sloppy coupe that makes a ton of tire-smoking horsepower. What more is there to say? The Edition 507 does have some really cool features. There's like a flat bottom steering wheel and carbon fiber trim pieces. It's got forged alloy wheels. It does have a limited slip differential. I mean, these drive as well as one of these big fat pigs can, but they still don't handle it. Don't be mistaken to think that this is a sports car. It's not. It's a muscle car, and that's all it is. If you think of it as a muscle car, you'll be impressed with the way it shifts gears and handles. But if you think of it as a sports car, it will always leave you wanting for more. And because if you think of it as a sports car and you get out of this and get into any 911, you'll be like, why did I buy that pig of a Mercedes? So as a daily driver, as a muscle car, as a boulevard cruiser, as something to just be a hooligan in, this is a fantastic vehicle. Our favorite race car driver on the planet, Jeff Westfall, owned one of these for a short period of time. He searched and searched to get just the right 507, and he unfortunately let a friend of his drive it, and the car is no more. So we've all been there, I guess. Maybe I have.
Some more than others?
Some more than others. But believe it or not, JP, our car was at $39,000. I should say it's out of Littleton, Colorado. And forgive me, it's got 16,000 miles on it. So it's pretty, you know, for 2015, this car has not been driven that much. And I would say that the Mars red paint job is very rare. Most of these are black, white, and silver. So to see a red one is certainly unusual. It was at $39,000 overnight, but with an hour and a half to go, our car is at $44,000. So was Rami's a coupe or a four-door? Do you remember?
It was exactly like this car, and it was exactly gray. Like, and you say it's not a sports car, and I agree with you, but having driven one recently, back-to-back with 997s and 991s, I will tell you that this thing is way more sports car than I would have anticipated. Yes, it's a muscle car. Yes, it's big and heavy. It's got gobs of torque, and it's tail-happy as an F. But it's got a lot of stability, and that transmission is way more crisp than anything I would have expected. Driving that car, it immediately said to me, you know, you said you get into a 911, go, why would I drive that big? It's like, honestly, for 40-something grand, which is what these things are worth, what the heck do you get in a contemporary Porsche for 40-something grand? You either get an air-cooled car, right? Or a Boxster. Yeah. For that money, there is nothing Porsche makes that is as good as this. Now, you could say, oh, well, whatever. You could get like a 05 or 06, you know, first-gen 997. Okay, yeah, but one of those is going to have 50,000 miles. It's going to have all the scariness that goes along with an early 997 bore scoring and IMS, and blah, 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 all those things. These cars are just absurdly reliable, and it feels like a GT car. I mean, it's not. I know. Don't freak out in the comments. But getting into this thing with the steering wheel and the Alcantara and all the sense of occasion when you get in this car, it feels like getting into a Porsche GT car of some sort. It's got a lot of that stuff.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's
a beautiful car. car in sight, and it just feels like
the seats are comfortable.
Just taking off, and this thing is like, oh my god, and you can mob around corners. It is, I mean, you can have an S ton of fun on this car. Obviously, the things that are going to be when you realize that it's not a sports car, where you realize that even though it's got massive, huge Brembo brakes or whatever, when you go into a corner and you stomp on those brakes, you're like, oh, that's right, this is 5,000 pounds or whatever. You know, it's not a 911.
I'll give you the Vegas analogy for this car with the Boxster and the C63 Edition 507. On the drive out to Sandy, you want to be in this car because you're going to get on the freeway and do 130, 140 miles an hour to try and keep up with Rami. This is that car. I mean, you're going to do a buck 20 with a finger on the steering wheel and your elbow out the window, laughing the whole time because this thing sounds like an offshore powerboat. But when you get to the Sandy Hill Road, the Boxster will show this car its taillights on anything twisty. And that's the difference. So choose your weapon kind of thing. I'm not trying to bash it, but as we are unabashedly Porsche guys, this car is kind of the antichrist because of its weight. But as a fun car on its own merit, or if you're just looking for your daily driver and you're going to still keep a 911 in the garage for the back roads, this thing is an absolute hooligan. And like I said, Jeff Westfall searched for one of these for like almost a year and then picked one out, and he was sending me pictures. He loved it. And unfortunately, the car wound up, you know, a victim of an accident. But, they're great cars for what they are. They're just like, you cannot not smile in this car. It has some personality, that's for sure.
Where's it going to land?
$50,000.
$50,000. All right. For $50,000, you are not getting anything with the word Porsche on it unless it's an air-cooled car that's going to be as fun as this.
Or a girl's car.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, there's no Boxster for $50,000 that you should buy instead of this thing if you want something fun. There are, look, like with the exception, maybe a Spider, you know, the, what is it? The, you know, third gen or second gen Boxster, you could get the, sometimes you see the Spiders in that, you know, I don't know.
They have to have 85,000, 90,000 miles on it. This car has – this Mercedes that you're comparing it to is brand new. It's got 15,000 miles on it.
Yeah, but I would definitely rather have the Spider than this for – you know. But the thing is, I don't think you're getting a Spider for $50,000. I actually saw one fairly recently for sale. I want to say it's a 10 Boxster Spider.
Yeah, 10 or 11,
and it is so awesome because it's one of them that was opted with no stereo. Nice. And no AC. I mean, it's like one of those like super strippers. And I'm like going, oh my God, that would be so awesome. But then I'm like, oh, I live in Las Vegas. Maybe not. Maybe the air conditioning is something I want. You say 50. Where's this car at right now?
40. Oh my God, JP, I just made it go away. Hold on. It's at 44.
Okay. 44. And where are we at? This is BAT. Yeah.
44 in Colorado with an hour and 17 minutes to go.
Yeah, I don't think people know what these are. I'm gonna go slightly under. I'm gonna say 49.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a great, great car, but I just don't think there's enough people. Like when Rami went to sell his, like, he was like, "Oh, it's not fast enough." So he got a C63S, you know, the newer version. I thought this car was the way cooler car. But whatever. You know, when he was calling around to some of our dealership friends, he's like, "Yeah, I've got a, you know, Mercedes C63 507." They're like, a what? And these are guys that, you know, sell like crazy Mercedes and Porsches and stuff like that. And they didn't know what it was. So I think this car has a narrow audience. It is a great value for the money. And because people don't know what it is, I think under 50,000 is what this car is going to sell for. And I think someone's going to get a steal because this is a freaking cool car for that kind of money.
Bidner's mojo in full effect. While we're reviewing the car, it got another bid. So it's up to $44,000. $275 on 19 bids. So there's some action there. We'll see what happens. Let's look at a couple of BMWs and wrap this train wreck of a show up. JP, you picked a very cool car. This would be a great driving car for like almost $0. It's an original owner 2012 BMW 328i Coupe with the M Sport package. So the M Sport package is going to give you better wheel and tire combination, M Sport suspension, M front valance, side rockers, and rear grille. And then when you get the M Sport package, you get more heavily bolstered front seats. It's a 6-speed manual car, and our car has just 50,000 original miles on it. Now, the 328i is a 3-liter normally aspirated inline six that still makes 200 and something horsepower. And this is a one owner car in metallic white with red leather. This is a really cool car. It's a no reserve auction on Bring a Trailer offered out of Tucson, Arizona, again, with just 50,000 miles. So basically, this car is out of warranty, right? but it's just sitting, JP. It's just languishing here with 35 minutes to go. It's sitting at $15,000. That's a crazy value for the money. This is like a sleeper of a car right here.
I love the E90, E92 platform. I think it's one of the best things BMW has ever made. I love the 328 because it's so simple. The 335 of the contemporary, you know, has the turbos and stuff, and I wouldn't touch one of those. These are 200,000 plus mile cars. You can drive the living hell out of these reliably. It looks contemporary. It's always going to look good. The thing I love about this, it doesn't have any of the stupid, what is it, the computer, what's a BMW's eDrive or whatever garbage that is.
Their interface.
Yeah. It's the problem with most European cars when they get into all this luxury stuff.
Wasn't it, iDrive?
G-Drive. It should be G-Drive or garbage. This car is, you know, it's a great color combo. It's a manual. Oh, yeah. It's got the right engine, and it's an M Sport, and it's got low miles. This is a
six-speed manual
unicorn. Yeah. I don't know if there's a better all-around, like, if you had to pick one car under $20,000, I don't know if you could do better than this. Look at this. You could even fold the rear seats down and put some stuff in the back. This is just the best car you could possibly buy for the money. I'm super stoked about it. I wish I had a spot in my garage for one, because this would be a great car to have, and I'm going to be very jealous whoever gets this.
You know, because of the metallic white paint, JP, do you know what would look really, really good on this car? And I mean, like, would just make it. And people would just be like, oh, my God, did you see that? Mm. Bid Nerds tennis balls. That's all it needs.
Big, huge Bid Nerds tennis balls. That is true right there.
So, JP, our car was at $11,000 last night. It's at 15 grand right now with about a half an hour till closing. I had put 17, but I realized it's going to break that. The question is whether or not it's going to break 20 grand. And I agree that this car is going to come in at a serious steal of a value. I'm going to say $19,000, probably stealing your bid, and send it to you. So, where are you at?
Yeah, dang. I'm going to have to go slightly over. I'll go 19.5. I don't know if it should if it get breaks, over 20.
Yeah.
At 17, I think it's creeping. How many bids are on it?
It was on 23 bids, so it's on more now.
Yeah. It's
on
got way action. More now. Yeah, people are. I think there are people out there that agree with me. This is like, man, a 30 more?
Bids.
Holy cow! Oh, 30 bids, man! I should have raised my bid. I'm glad I bet the over. It may go well into the 20s. I think it certainly should. Because even under 30, what the heck do you get that's as good as this? Yeah, a 335 is faster, blah, blah, blah. But this thing is just, oh my God, you could just buy this car and never have to. I mean, you just keep this for, this is like a Mercedes 190, right? You just buy it and it's just, you just keep it in the garage and it's always going to be cool. And it's always going to look good. It's always going to be fun to drive.
And it's always going to handle way better than you thought. It's always going to be fun to drive. And it doesn't matter that it doesn't have 6 million horsepower. It's still a great sports car.
Yep.
Although, what is it? Lane would say, BMW doesn't make sports cars.
All right, let's get to another BMW that I'm sure Lane would love.
This car, actually, this is very Santa Cruz. JP, you picked this fantastic E28 platform, 1984 BMW 524 turbo diesel European sedan, showing 82,000 original miles out of Sequim, Washington. Am I saying that correct?
S-E-Q-U-I-M? You are not.
How do you say it?
A lot of people mistake it for Sequim, but it is pronounced Squim. Squim, Washington is out Squim on the Washington. Peninsula, out as far away from anywhere as you can get in Washington. It is northwest as northwest as you can go.
Are your neighbors killer whales? Is it like Orca
Town? This is Orca Town. Yeah, I mean, you're up by the Strait of Juan de Fuca, as close to Canada as you can get on the other side of the sound. So to get to this car, if you go out, if you're going to road trip this car, you're going to have a beautiful, beautiful road trip. But you're going to land in SeaTac. I don't know how the hell you're going to get to Squim. The person that sells this thing is going to have to come out to you, because it's like a four-hour drive. You have to take a ferry or drive all the way south and all the way back up, which would probably make it a five-hour drive. It is awesome out there, but it is one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Let's buy it right now. I'm
The vampires? Where do they do the vampire? What's the with the girls and the teenagers? What's those vampire movies?
Oh yeah, I forget.
Who cares? Who gives a shit, right? Yeah. This is where that's where they filmed all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so this basically has an American U.S. military serviceman who was living in Germany. stationed in Germany, I should say, correctly, bought this car. And then when he came home to the United States in the year 2000, he brought the car with him. It's got obviously a 2.4 liter turbo diesel inline six with a ZF sourced five speed manual transmission. The E28 platform is the same platform that underpins that 1988 BMW M5 we covered on the very last show last Thursday. And I will say that platform is a phenomenal platform. It makes for a great little sports sedan. Despite this thing being probably grossly underpowered, I would suggest that the motor and the drivetrain in this will outlive styrofoam, diamonds, and cockroaches, because that turbo diesel is probably good for, you know, what, JP, like 600,000, 800,000 miles if you just take care of it. Yeah. I mean, these are just fantastic cars. That ZF transmission is also a beast. It will last as well. It's on 14-inch steels, which is really funny to see on a 528. You know, you look at an M5 on those gorgeous laced BMW 16-inch wheels. These little 14-inch steels look kind of silly. It's like seeing a basketball player in penny loafers, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's just a neat little car, and it's got a little action on it. JP, it was at $7,400, which is where it's still at. It's got 3.5 hours to go. It's way up there in Washington. But that four headlight, the twin kidney BMW grill, and those old, you know, kind of on a Volkswagen, you would call those diving board, those big bumpers. But this is just a great little car that they never sold in the United States, and it would be a fantastic driver that will just last and last and last. I think that this car has a cult following and probably could surprise us and maybe get up into the low teens. What do you think?
Well, number one, I have to point out that these are not diving boards. Because this is a Euro, those are the Euro bumpers, so they're right. Very, very small. Whereas the American ones would have what would be considered diving boards.
They're not flush mount bumpers like the 964. These still have little ones, although the European ones, we used to call them bumperettes, right? Like they're right. These little tiny things, like their little cigarettes and their little mustaches.
It's a suggestion of a bumper, really. They didn't have the crash. They didn't have the crash requirements that we did. You know, I mean, this is definitely a death trap if you get in any kind of real accident. There's no crumple zones or any of that kind of stuff. But as long as you can avoid being hit by something, this car will last forever, right? I mean, it is.
So as long as you dodge traffic, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's what you have to do in any classic car, really, because you know, this is way before safety was really a thing.
So this is a safer car in Sequim, Washington, than it is on the Strip or in San Francisco, is what you're saying.
Yeah, LA traffic, you know.
Oh my God.
But honestly, if you're going to do a classic car, it's not as bad as I mean, this is still safer than an old 911. Come on, at least there's mass here in front of you. You know, so this car, I love that you say that it'll live the apocalypse, because it's absolutely true. This is just one of those things that will. This could be the last car you ever buy. If you if you're a person who drives 10, 15,000 miles a year, you could buy this and never buy a car again.
Yeah,
that's it.
Pay it off and never have a car payment again. Yeah,
yeah. And you could be in your 20s and that would be a real thing. And you'd look cool doing it again if you don't die. And if they still sell diesel fuel in 20 years.
You can make your own biodiesel.
Yeah, there you go. Right. You could convert this into French fry oil. Yeah. Absolutely. I love that it has roll-up windows.
How about the cloth seats? Look at the cloth seats in an E28. That's so cool.
And they're not tore up.
BMW would not sell corduroy seats in this country at that era. They were all trying to go after Mercedes luxury. Yeah. It was all leather and power, everything. So you're right. The roll-ups and the cloth are very European to this.
No cracks in the dash. The cloth seats aren't torn up. In only 80,000 miles, this thing may as well have 10,000 miles. I mean, it's just, All right. So where is this absolutely rad car going to bring? Redwood car.
Despite this car, of all the cars, this car got no bids overnight. It's still at $7,400 on just 14 bids. But the way we've talked it up, I'm still going to raise my bid from $11,000. And I'm going to go crazy and say $12,000, JP. Crazy. Crazy
talk. Yeah, I'll go bonkers. I'll take that. I'll take that action and go even higher. I'll go. You said 12?
I said $12,000.
Yeah, I'm going 13, man. I'm going to park it right above you.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to park it right above you.
You must have hit your head at Cars and Coffee. You must have bonked your head at Cars and Coffee.
Man, I want this car.
$13,000.
How could this go for less than 50? I mean.
I know. To me, it should be a $17,000 or $20,000 car. And if this car has a ridiculously late flurry, I will not apologize tomorrow, and I'll say I'm not surprised at all. It is on BAT. It's on the West Coast. I mean, I know it's not in the most convenient place, but it's not in Miami. And where would you find another 524 with perfect cloth seats and less than 100,000 miles in this country? You're not. Yeah. So if this car brings even twice our bids, I won't be surprised and I won't apologize. I'll say, okay, it made sense. It's just not showing signs that it's getting there, but it could.
And it should. Because, I mean,
yeah. No comps.
Yeah. I mean, clean up those steel wheels just a little
BMW.
Bit.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
I would
about
put
this
alloy
car.
Wheels on it. I think it would look really cool if you put some, even if you put bottle caps on it, it would look cool,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go, guys.
The
steels that's another...
will look good in your garage, JP, or in the Bit Nerd studio.
You know what this
make
car does
all those
not
guys
have is air conditioning. So this car is
oh,
not
really?
In here.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, no AC.
Asked.
Yeah.
And no wonder great. It's in Sequim. Yeah.
Squim. 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 Washington. This would be a great Squim, Bay Area Washington. Car, though, because you don't have to worry
it
about
would.
AC, right?
It would.
It's
yeah,
a gloomy looking car.
Everybody would dig your diesel smoke too. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, guys, that guy's saving the environment." I'm like, no,
yes.
I'm not.
All right. Well, there you go, guys. Another we're back. It's Bid Nerds for a Monday. That was our episode. Be back tomorrow. We've got a bunch more cars to talk about. We've got some guests coming. Make sure you check out Guys Customs on the Instagram. That's GYX_customs for your very own Guys bracelet to match your watch or car. Hit the subscribe, like, and notification button. And go over to BAT and P Car Market and Rad for Sale and Cars and Bids and tell them you saw the cars on Bid Nerds. Go over there and just talk us up over there in the comments.
Start a conversation about the tennis balls. Say, Bid Nerds have more balls than you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's what the nerd herd has to say. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out. We will see you tomorrow.
Peace.
Maybe.
Why not? There we go.